está Messi.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Frederick in the studio, we have Joe in the studio, and we have Liverpool Logan on the phone. Tonight's show is going to be based around last weekend's results in the EPL, the upcoming games that are going to be taking place in this week's weekend's fixtures of the EPL and Serie A. We're also going to talk a little bit about some moves that were made in the MLS, specifically TFC. And we're also going to give a shout out to a couple of standout performers from their college years who are now taking the next step into their professional career. So we'll also talk a little bit about that. But as usual, guys, you can get to us on our website, footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on many different mediums. You can get us. There's no reason for you not to be listening. You can subscribe to our Twitter account at @football_weekly. Football again spelled F-U-T-B-O-L_weekly. Guys, as usual, jam-packed show. So let's get into it. Sit back, relax, and let's take in the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
Can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Calhanoglu pull that one from?
This is Anthony Vidori from Vaughn Soccer Club, and you are listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Another jam-packed show on the Football Weekly Podcast. To my right, I have Fred.
Hello, hello.
I have Joe.
Hello.
And on the phone, we have Liverpool Logan. Logan, say hi to the people.
To the people. I'm just hammering over here.
Saving that one all week.
Did you find that hammer, Logan?
Ooh.
That's why we had to start over, I guess.
That's it, eh, Logan?
Right, cool. I guess United's back.
Champions. Yep. Champs.
Champions.
Five wins in a row.
Ole Gunnar
Solskjaer.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
What do you mean, Logan? This is Ole Gunnar is now.
They tie with Arsenal on point, Logan.
That's true.
Well, yeah, he's the man. What? He is.
Hey, I said that Arsenal finished sixth at the beginning of the year, or sixth or seventh, because I thought Everton would be doing better than they have been.
Okay, but they're not.
United's caught them. Yeah, I know that people are getting carried away. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Sign him right now.
Hey, beat Tottenham. We were waiting to hold judgment until the Tottenham game, and he beat him.
They're definitely getting carried away. Yeah. I mean,
oh, I understand. I know that, but
yeah. With the Ole Gunnar. I mean, listen,
they're getting carried away, but they're getting carried away because they're winning.
Yeah, they're winning. So,
and the next game is winnable too.
He can only beat the weak teams that he's beaten. Okay, they've put the ball in the back of the net. He's brought a positivity, but like I said last week. People got a little bit carried away with Unai Emery. It's not like Unai Emery's not a good coach. There's massive problems at Arsenal in terms of who they have, and he's going to have to restructure the team the way he wants it.
To be fair,
the squad that Mourinho built wasn't as bad as what they produced. And the fact of the matter is, like Darren Fletcher is writing an article today in the BBC Sport about Ole's master plan tactically was the reason they beat Tottenham. No. David De Gea made about 11 saves.
But I don't understand when people say that. He's on the team to do his job. His job is to stop the ball.
He's been Manchester United's player of the year the last four or 5 years, whatever. Yep. But maybe that's part of the problem.
That's like saying Liverpool won, but Salah scored all the goals. Who cares?
Yeah, he's part of the team. Exactly.
To some extent, De Gea wasn't making the saves. Under Mourinho, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess, in a way, there is something there, right?
He's under Mourinho. He's probably the one bright spot for United under Mourinho's tenure. He's always been good. I know that people want to bring up the fact that he wasn't great at the World Cup and he struggled for Spain, but De Gea's never really put a foot wrong for United. And the fact of the matter is, go back and watch the game that Mourinho was in charge against Spurs. United was the better team that day. They got beat. Looked like they got ripped apart, but they played Spurs better than what they played them on the weekend. United scored on a counterattack goal, a world-class ball from Pogba, and a great finish from Rashford. Those are the type of performances from those two players that weren't happening under Mourinho's tenure in the last couple of months.
Well, there's actually, sorry, Logan, to interrupt you, but there's actually, you know, we're talking about, you know, obviously De Gea, but on that goal, which I agree with you, Logan, wholeheartedly, great ball by Pogba on the counter, great finish by Rashford, who's, you know, obviously, I mean, I really believe in Marcus Rashford. I think he's going to, this is part of the bright spot that we know we'll get. Yeah, for sure, and he is. But, you know, I think David De Gea, obviously, especially on that day, we talked about this last week about Hugo Lloris.
Yep.
I mean, I think it was, I don't know if it was Ian Wright or Dion Dublin. Anyway, someone was saying that, wow, maybe, might have been Hargreaves, I'm not sure, but, you know, maybe De Gea comes a lot closer to that ball than Hugo Lloris does. So to Reggie's point, he's part of the team. The keeper's part of the team.
He's doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing his job. De Gea, he never went away. I think I agree with Logan, too, there. He never went away. He's part of this, right?
But if he lets three of those goals in, then he's garbage again, right?
Yeah.
He makes a save.
Look, I think a couple of those saves were brilliant saves, okay? They were. The fact of the matter is, he made more saves in that game than he did against Liverpool. Like, Tottenham had wave after wave. And people want to talk about, Man United fans want to talk about this team under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has them believing again, having them play the type of football. Look, under Alex Ferguson, I don't remember many teams having wave after wave of pressure on United.
Yeah, true.
I just feel as though there's a sober second thought that happens, and I think all fans that follow their team sometimes get a little bit carried away. They're either too positive during the highs and way too negative during the loss.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's human nature, though.
Yeah. I mean, look, are they going in the right direction? Absolutely. But the fact of the matter is, they're in fifth. I'm not sure they're going to climb above that.
You guys ever see the movie Shallow Hal?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my Shallow Hal theory of Manchester United.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, with Black and Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's right. Yep. So, you know, listen, nothing against Ole Gunnar, but, you know, right now, everybody thinks Ole Gunnar is like amazing, beautiful thing they ever saw in their life, whatever you're into, okay? But is it almost that, or is it because they, like United guys, were just so happy to get rid of Mourinho? I'm not saying Ole Gunnar does not deserve a chance to maybe be in the mix for this, but, again, we've all said this, we got to give them the whole year that's left to see it. But we've all said this, and we could say this over and over. You know, Logan just addressed United fans. Totally agree. This is not him being so great. This is run of form that they're in. United never had bad, like, they didn't have these bad players. Yes, they have their problems at the back, right? But look at what we've talked about. Look what we just described. David De Gea in the net. Paul Pogba plays a great ball, as Logan described the sequence of the goal. This is Paul Pogba, the World Cup winner. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want Paul Pogba on their team? They're liars if they say they wouldn't, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you have Marcus Rashford, great young English player who's only got a future ahead of him, bright one, and scores. So, I think we're getting a little bit too ahead of ourselves that way, you know?
And let's not forget, Joe, this is the same squad predominantly that went out and finished second last year in the
Premiership. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, the same group of players. So, look, Mourinho probably had to go because he wasn't getting the best out of the players. Ole Gunnar's come in, put in a positive vibe. Like I said last week, usually get a bump. Arsenal got the bump under Unai Emery with predominantely the same squad that Arsene Wenger had. These guys just didn't forget how to play. But a good manager, and I'm not saying Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a good manager because we don't know. At this point, he's got a pretty good record. I have every reason to believe that he'll probably win this weekend again against Brighton Hove. But I'm not sure when United fans start wishing that this guy becomes their manager going forward.
Right.
Look, there's a reason why Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would be the right manager for the club. Obviously, he has a connection with the club.
That's right.
He has an affinity towards the fans. There's evidence that he's consulting with Alex Ferguson in terms of his team selection. It's something he admitted to today in a press conference. He's got Michael Carrick around him. He's brought in Mike Phelan, who had lots of success under Alex Ferguson. He's been a youth coach there, so he knows a number of the players that have come through and went into the squad. And you can't just judge him on the fact that he's coached a Norwegian team and Cardiff City, being the only track record he has. But that is his only track record. These 6 or 7 games that he's all won with United, games he should have won other than the Tottenham game, And quite frankly, like, he didn't really deserve to win the Tottenham game. They parked the bus largely in the second half, which is not really the United way. That sort of reminds me of the tactics of the previous guy.
Absolutely. I was going to say, he did what Mourinho got, like, derailed for. Like, this is, you know, like, this is what we talked about, the too high, too low. Right, it's nothing against Ole Gunnar. Like Logan said, the entire, like, his, it's got to be, the story still needs to be told here, the full story, right? Like, this is, Mourinho finished second to Man City, who had a historic year.
That's true.
Phil Jones is back there, eh?
So Phil Jones.
Phil
Jones and Lindelof were blocking so many shots.
Oh, yeah. Craig Ludwig style.
Craig Ludwig.
You have in that team, you have Matic, great player, Premier League winner with Chelsea.
Too slow.
But he's a good holding midfielder.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Luke Shaw is Luke Shaw. I'm not sure that he's a Manchester United player. Ashley Young's played well under Solskjaer. Played well at United, quite frankly. You know, you got a quality of Lukaku coming off the bench. He's not exactly a terrible striker.
No, it's just not in form, but you're right. He's been there, done at a top level, of course.
In that time of the game where you just want to pump the ball out when you're under the pressure and you just want to pump the ball out and have someone hold, it's good to have someone like Lukaku coming off the bench to do that for you up top.
Look, okay, well, let's use this as an example. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, everything's went right for him in this first six or seven games. If he had lost a couple of games, no one would be talking him as a manager.
Bingo.
Nope.
And quite frankly, look at what happens with one loss in terms of how fans will turn in this era of football.
It depends how they lose, though, Logan.
No, but look, Unai Emery had it. And look what it does to a team. Unai Emery had an unbeaten streak of 21, 22 games,
I'll explain the Arsenal to you.
No, hold on. Just let me finish my point. Unai Emery had an unbeaten streak for a long time. Now they've had a bit of a wobble. Liverpool, undefeated the whole year, they lose to City, they lose to Wolves, then they win 1-0 with a penalty away against Brighton Hove Albion. Tough place to play, but
another flop by Salah, but go on.
It's not a flop.
It is a flop. It is.
That was a stonewall penalty.
Okay. It's floppish.
Like, it was a flop, man.
It's always some a stonewall penalty.
It's bad. Go on. Finish your point.
One flop changes the mood, changes the confidence of the team, and things get a little bit shaky. There was a couple of losses with Man City. Everybody's writing them off. Now look at them. They're the hottest team in England right now. And Liverpool's, if they weren't looking over their shoulder before, they're absolutely looking over their shoulder now.
Okay. I agree with some of the points you make, but if it's not Solskjaer, I don't know who it is. I don't see Pochettino leaving like we said last week. I don't see Zidane taking the job. So who's going to come in and take the job then?
Well, Conte's
he's not a United guy.
No.
I don't think I think they're going to go with maybe another young, try to catch a Sir Alex Ferguson in a bottle type of maneuver.
They will have to go outside the regular circles to find someone.
Well, Logan, you weren't happy with this in our chat there about possibly Gareth Southgate, right? You're not too sold on that one name, Logan?
Yeah, but I don't think he's leaving England.
I think that's the English press making more out of something than's not.
Stirring the pot?
I think so. Look, big deal. They're considering Gareth Southgate.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't consider it at this point? They've got to look at everybody.
Right.
Quite frankly, Gareth Southgate has no record not a very good record as a club manager.
Yeah.
That's why I don't see him leaving England setup.
Very different coaching a tournament where I'm an England fan and they had a good run, but let's be honest, did they really play anybody in that tournament? And he can only beat the players he can only play the teams in front of him, but they didn't play any world-class teams until they got beat by Croatia in the semi. They've done well in the Nations League. Look, he's done a good job with England. But, Joe, I think it's a little bit too early.
Yeah,
to
for sure. Give him a job like that, yeah?
Start thinking about him being a Manchester manager.
Well, enough about the fifth-place team. Let's go to the fifth-place team, right? Well, actually, we'll start with some of the scores. We'll start with some of the other scores in the Premier League. A big game for the two Gunners in the room was Chelsea versus Newcastle. which looked a pretty good game at half. I think it was 1-1 at half. Good goal by Newcastle, and then Chelsea turned up the stuff for their second goal and beat them 2-1, and they pulled ahead a little bit from us. We talked about a little bit about Liverpool's flop penalty shot against Brighton Hove, and they won 1-0. City played on Monday, 1-3 against Wolves, who had a red card, I believe, in that game as well. And
red card. I mean, that's a red card. Then if that's a red card,
I know where we're going here. Go ahead, Logan.
I didn't see it. So what happened?
Absolutely a red card.
What happened?
I didn't think it was a red card challenge. The individual that did get the red card, that's his like sixth or seventh in his Wolves career, I believe. Or so it's not like.
What did you call it?
I think it was. It was a.
Boley. The defender.
It was a
right?
That's right. I think it was a harsh red card.
Yeah, but you get that. You get that reputation.
Listen, I think Logan was referring to earlier. Might have cut out. I'm not sure, but he's saying if that's a red, and again, a lot of talk was Vincent Kompany's challenge on Mo Salah red.
So then Van Dijk's challenge on Mertens was a red.
Yep.
That
what are we talking
sure.
about? Yeah. What are we talking about?
Like, hey, Ray, you went deep for that one, Reg.
Well, it was a week before that one. That one was going crazy.
Good man.
Talk about then. The Wolves penalty that Sterling won looked like a bit of a flop. I can see how the referee could give it, but it was. There's no way that Mo Salah flopped against.
Yeah, he did.
Listen, if we just went to VAR. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, that's true. We just know VAR. Next year, we'll get all the criminals and try to get them out of the game. Where's Sean Dyche calling out for Salah to be banned? Plays Arsenal and goes crazy. But no, anyway. So the other game of the week that was probably second most watched game of the weekend would be the London Derby between West Ham and Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Where
with a few Gunners facing the old team. Wow, Samir Nasri coming.
Apparently he ran the show.
And some shambolic defending.
Again. But
there's your problem right there, boys.
But here's the
that back line is just
here's the negativity that's surrounding Arsenal, and it's not just the draws. We know we're not going to win every single game. As long as we compete and we're in every game, we're fine with that. But it's just the shambolic nature of the club off the pitch that's just so frustrating.
Yeah. Are you talking about the lack of spending, Reg?
Well, it's the lack of spending and the fact that Arsenal Football Club can only get loan players. Like, since when?
Sounds like my club.
Yeah, but we charge the most money for tickets.
Agreed.
We make the most profit. Where's it going? Well, we all know where it's going. It's going to Los Angeles to build a stadium, but a football stadium for the Rams.
The Rams.
I don't know. It's just. Beyond, it's kind of like a distraction. It's beyond. No one's really talking about we lost to West Ham. Everyone's talking about how come we don't have any money.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's just, I don't know. It really kind of bothers me that in this window, given everything that is happening, like, you know, in terms of defensive wise, we are not able to go get something to even strengthen us. And even the guys that he's looking to bring in on loan, they're like midfielders and forwards. Like, I don't think we need that.
Yeah,
you know,
the best defense is to score five goals a game.
Well, yeah, right, which is Wenger mentality, right? You score one, we score two. Yeah. So I don't know, but
there's got to be some reinforcements in that back four. There has to be
because the guy hasn't have.
Is it Manolas? I heard that name. I mean, we'll get more into it in the rumors later. But the point being is. They got to get something there. United and Arsenal are actually very, very similar in that sense, aren't they not? Yeah. Right?
If you're going to go off...
So we're on level on points.
Right. So that's a great point, Red. It's funny those twos are tied on points and have similar issues. Sorry, Red.
If you're going to go off what you're hearing in the tabloids and everything like that, then nothing's coming in.
No.
Yeah.
Zero's coming in.
Yeah. Right now, it looks like it.
I blame you.
It's halfway through January and... activities doesn't look to be,
but spending's down in the
promising.
Whole spending's down the whole league.
Well, that's what happened when you spend over $1 billion and change in the summer, right? Nobody really kind of have money to spend again. Everybody waits to do their big spending in the summer, right? That's what is becoming now, right?
Okay.
Which is why people have said several times, maybe get rid of the general transfer altogether.
You're gonna lose the Ramsey, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, in the summer, he's going to United.
Which, despite what you may feel about him, is actually a big loss for Arsenal, like, in the short term. Maybe in the long term, he's
It's in the long term as well, because if we're a club that if we sell someone, that's our transfer money. If we're giving a $40 million player away for free and then saying we don't have any money to buy anybody, there's a big problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Well, that's part of the problem with the way the club is run. Well, I mean,
yeah, I was talking to someone the other day, and it's Wilshire for free. That's that's 35 right there.
Yep.
It's Ramsey for free. That's 40. It's Sanchez for Mkhitaryan, which is free to me. That's what, 45? How much is that? Almost 100 million right there.
You're also forgetting about Van Persie, which was the
There was something I saw early in the week where somebody was actually taking the time and calculated players that we sold basically undervalued, which basically pointing out how we don't know how to
value players
and sell them. And the total, I think, out of 10 players, including the name that you mentioned already, and the total was like 260 something million pounds that we could have taken in that we didn't. Like, and it goes all the way as far as like Podolski and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it's just bad business dealing all around. And I don't know who makes these calls.
Well, yeah. And quite frankly, that's just bad business. You got to run these clubs. Like, for instance, somebody texted me saying, oh, you know, Salah to Barcelona, whatever. You know, Salah would look in a Barcelona jersey. Great. Give me 150 million or 200 million. You can have them. Because at the end of the day, if I bought a player for 35 million and I can sell him for 150 to 200 million, that's a no-brainer to me.
What's what you did with Coutinho, right?
Other ways. It's like Coutinho. Coutinho's on the verge of being shown the exit door at Barcelona. You buy a player for 5, you sell him for 150, that's good business.
And you turn him into Van Dijk and Alisson, right?
Correct. You've given up something. Now, people could argue that Liverpool still lack creativity. Coutinho's not a guy that you can just go out and replace. But the fact of the matter is, they needed a defender far greater than they needed Coutinho.
I don't think that they lack creativity, by the way, Logan. I think the style, I know you might not be, you know, you were just throwing it out there with saying, you know, the teams always need something. I don't think that they do. I think that the good bit of business that you guys mentioned, look at a guy like Shaqiri. That is, we've talked about
Shaqiri
this before.
Looks like
a steal for $13
million.
For sure he does. How about Fabinho slipping in as center back? I mean, Reggie, sorry, Logan, but wouldn't you love that Fabinho slipping at center back for Arsenal now?
I think El Neni would do a great job at center back. But
Fabinho looks great fit there, Logan. Are you happy with that?
Like,
so there's another good bit of business.
There's some bad business by Liverpool.
You know, but we've mentioned these four pretty good bits of business too, right?
Logan, so make sure you take it.
You know, for
you
every
can,
right, Reg, Fred. I mean, I would take two bad, poor ones with four good ones, and a slam dunk with Virgil van Dijk. I mean, so you know.
Sure, I agree, Joe. I don't get me wrong. I was going to highlight something I brought up last week. Nathaniel Klein gets let go.
Yeah,
for no good in my mind. You're in a title race.
Yeah.
Now Lovren's out. Trent Alexander-Arnold is
hobbling.
Now out.
Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah. Barely finished the game, right, Logan? Yeah.
And now you've gotten rid of you know, Kleine, and you know what you have now? You have every other club saying, "Oh, you want a right back? We're going to jack up the price because you're kind of desperate now."
Right.
And for whatever reason, and I'll never understand this, they put a no recall clause in Klein's contract, so they can't pull him back from Bournemouth if they wanted him back.
Yeah,
I don't understand the logic where Liverpool might be in the best position they've been in a while to win the league, and why they're not even. It doesn't even look like they're entertaining anybody in this window.
True.
I would have.
What money do you have to spend? You don't have any money either.
What they have. This is your best shot. And now I'm concerned that I'm really starting to see a little bit of fracture. I'm very nervous about the Crystal Palace game this weekend. You know, if they're going to be true title contenders, I don't know why they would let a player like Klein go.
Well, at the time, they were unbeaten, so they thought they had it in the bag, I guess. Like, they were thinking ahead a little bit of themselves. That's why maybe they didn't put in that claw to get it back.
Yeah, but you know, Fred, I think even, like, Logan mentioned this last week. He said, you know, because Logan said he didn't want to lose him, and he was talking about how important it was with the squad depth and things happening, like you just said. And he said, you know, if he were Jurgen Klopp, he would have sat him down and said, listen, I'm going to need you. Somewhere along those lines. Like, I get that. That's a good bit.
Stick around until and don't go around. Right.
But how do we know that maybe he did say that to him? But
and the player wanted to go.
And Klein said, listen, you know what? I really need to play, and I think I've been a good servant. And maybe it was one of those deals. I know we're all thinking here, and I know Logan as a Liverpool guy is probably saying, well, hey, that's great, but hey, this is, we have a chance to win it this year. You've been there. So maybe we don't know that. Maybe Klopp tried, Logan. Maybe they tried to do that, and it just wasn't working. I'm not sure. I know what Logan is saying, but...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Joe. You know, that's part of his job, and it's part of...
As a professional,
Say, listen, this is our best shot. What are you going to do? Like, what can we do?
Yeah.
We'll sell you in the summer, right?
Yeah. Maybe you should have given him, like, a little stronger ultimatum to maybe get him to stick around. But go back to your point, Logan, about no callback clause. I'm just thinking about that, too. We have Chamberlain at Fulham when all these defenders were hurting, and he could have come back and fill a boot or something, but we still didn't call him back. So... maybe that's the way the loan market is going, that the teams are taking the players and they refuse to...
You want Chambers back?
I'm just saying, just a body, you know what I mean? Because at one point, we were so weak, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd rather take Jenkinson before Chambers.
Well, yeah, right?
Like, right now, they're having to play Fabinho. So for instance, this weekend, they're going to have Zaha attacking them down the left flank. That's a big problem if you're contemplating putting James Milner there. Look, I love James. Good servant of the club, but is he going to have the pace to keep up with Zaha? Like, it's a tricky test for Liverpool. I know they're at home. Crystal Palace is a decent team.
Yep.
And like I said, there's no easy games. So you have fans now that think that Liverpool should go out and beat teams 3 or 4-0 week in, week out. That's not going to happen. No team that's ever won the title goes out and beats teams 3 or 4-0. They sometimes have to grind out really character-type results. Yeah, they're going to win 1-0, sort of like last week. Liverpool controlled the game. It took a Salah penalty to win it. Brighton, yeah. And those are tough games away. But, you know, you have to have... Yeah, you're not going to win every game with champagne football, is my point.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think Klopp, he mentioned that was a well-needed professional performance and a win. Like, and I think in the title race and in a championship run, these type of wins, I'm not the only one saying this. A lot of pundits are saying this. Guys that have been there, former Premier League players, saying this is the type of win that is cementing in the past, and we've said this before on this pod, that, you know, in the past, Liverpool would lose or lose points, drop points.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting weekend coming up. Like Logan said, Liverpool's playing Crystal Palace. I think Arsenal's at home to... We didn't even talk about... I guess we'll talk about them in the second half. Who's Arsenal playing this weekend? I don't even remember.
Come on.
Oh, Chelsea.
They're playing Chelsea. God,
game of the week.
That's right. Yep. They're playing Chelsea at 12:30.
Really bad at Arsenal for you not to know that.
Right? Yeah, it's a mental brain fart.
I'm staring at the clock. You're the Arsenal clock. No battery yet.
No battery. Not yet, man. Not yet.
Emirates Parking.
I didn't fall for it.
That's got 4 or 5 red
chili peppers on it. Purdy
spice meter.
That's a game you have to win. That's a game you have to win.
Is Purdy spice one of the spice?
Red hot chili peppers. No. Great band.
No.
Times I feel like.
Excellent. I feel like I served these up.
I know, eh?
It's like Californication. But we'll catch you on the second half of this podcast. Catch you in the second half. Stay tuned.
Rio gönderdi. Müthiş bir top gönderdi. Wagner Love!
So in the second half of the podcast, we're going to dip into the transfers that aren't happening in the world of football. We're gonna stay in Europe, and then we're gonna come across the pond to North America and talk about a few of the topics that are going on in and around the GTA. I'd like to say, pretty much, but I know Joe's a proud pop over there, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But we left off last week's show talking about Chelsea and Christian Pulisic's move from Dortmund to Chelsea, and the reason for it. Do you see a reason for it? Is Hazard on his way out? Is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah. Wow.
Or they got rid of Fabregas, but I don't think Pulisic is the type of player that's going to sit on the bench like Fabregas did.
I hope Hazard is on his way out because he's a good player for the league, you know. But
I think
we don't know. I don't understand that buy. That's for sure.
Is he really going to go to Real Madrid? Like, what a time to go! I know his buddy's there. And listen, I know it's Real Madrid, so the money will be there. Yeah. He'll be the guy. His buddy's over there. Well, Thibaut Courtois is there.
Coach Vads last week said it's the allure of that all white jersey, right?
So yeah, that's it.
What happens if Mourinho ends up there?
Is he still
going to go? I think Hazard is gone.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's why they're bringing in Pulisic to maybe replace him before that price goes up to $80 million in the summer?
Yes, I think Pulisic is cover for Hazard leaving.
And that's not one for one for sure. But
I'm going to throw something out there.
What's up?
It's kind of a poor man's Hazard as far as I'm concerned.
I'm feeling Dries Mertens in the summer to Chelsea.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at well, you know, I think like Sarri, like he's trying to get Higuain now, and of course, you know, it's been so good at Milan.
He brought in Jorginho.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to put the band back together. Koulibaly, is this gonna happen? Is this the band gonna happen again in Chelsea? I don't know. It's just something there. I mean, just, I don't know.
But you bring those players in into, and I'm no disrespect to the Serie A, but you bring those players into the Premier League. They haven't really won in Serie A. Why do we think that that collection of players is going to do anything in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think it's the you have to bring other people around them, for sure.
Of course.
You need to bring things around.
Koulibaly's going to be $120 million. I don't know if you have enough money to bring in the players needed around him to
make
it work.
You know what I mean? I think it's, you know, again, they're looking to bring it. I mean, now we're talking about even like with Higuain coming. So
yeah, I don't think you need Higuain.
You know,
but you have to get rid of. They have to get rid of Morata.
They need something. There's talk of him going to Atletico too. Like, listen.
Yeah, Morata's apparently going to Atletico.
No, I think that deal fell through.
Swap for Costa.
It didn't happen.
You know, I found it strange. Again, I'm piggybacking on what was said. I think Gary Lineker tweeted, or someone did, but they're saying, you know, Sarri in his interview said, you know, Jorginho, if he goes out, there's no one to replace him on the field. It's like, well, actually, he's right beside him. His name's N'Golo Kanté.
Yep.
You know, so it's almost, again, these are the same things that Antonio Kanté was saying, and I think we said this before a while back, it was saying with Chelsea's board, you know, I need these players. I need this. So it's very similar problems to what Jose Mourinho had. When he was there,
I think Chelsea has a little bit more of an understanding.
Man. Sorry, not Jose Mourinho. I'm sorry. With Antonio Conte.
There's also the rumors that Roman Abramovich wants to get rid of the club now, right?
Oh, really? Yeah. See? There you go.
Well, he can come over. He can come take over Arsenal.
Actually, he was thinking about that before he took Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that. He posted that.
That would have been nice, eh? We wouldn't be here where we are right now, would we? But anyways.
It would have been money well spent.
I just think it's so tough to win the Premiership. And, you know, Sarri, I think he set the record for his first 11 games he was unbeaten. I don't know where the Premiership is going, but I couldn't even tell you who I mean, right now we're saying it's a two-horse race, and I'm pretty much sure that it is. I know that Liverpool has a four-point lead, but I don't think it's safe at this point.
It's the February thing, right? Logan, you mentioned Harry Kane.
Well, Harry Kane, like,
I mean, that's huge.
That was a big test for Tottenham against Man United. You guys told me that they were going to fail. They did. But they played some great football.
They actually did. Like, I mean, in terms of sequences and.
But it's Spurs, though. I mean, they always find a way to choke. You know what I mean?
In 3 weeks, no one's going to care about the football they played. It's just an L beside the game. No one remembers.
Well, they're in tough now, like what Logan was saying about Harry Kane. They're saying, what, till March, guys?
Yeah, in March.
And an ankle injury.
Son's gone too. Yeah, hey, Lamella, here's your chance.
Lucas Moura. I mean, it's
Llorente has a chance now. They got Lamella.
Llorente's been on the bench for 2 years. I think I saw him for the first time in the last game in the last 10 minutes.
Didn't he play in our men's team last week?
And he should have scored.
And he should have scored, you're right.
And he didn't.
Look, fair play to De Gea. I thought he was great, and now everybody's...
You can't ask a guy who hasn't played in how many
weeks.
I'm being serious, months, like months.
Not weeks. Yeah, like, months. It's true.
10 minutes, like it's like Daniel Sturridge, like
coming in safe.
But can't Sturridge be in form again? Like, he's got the best dance ever. Sorry, I mentioned this so many times. He really does, Fred.
He'd have to score.
It's the greatest dance ever. Oh, Fred's doing it. I wish we had that. Oh, man, Fred, that was great.
Next time we put on video.
It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
It is the best dance. I'm sorry, Reggie. It is.
Oh, man.
You know it, too.
So, Fred,
for Thursday night, can you please repeat that dance, please?
It's amazing. It's just fantastic. It was great. Anyhow.
So there's not really much going on in the transfer world.
No, nothing really.
Nothing in England. Nothing.
I'm gearing up my song again.
What's that?
No, I'll leave it.
What's that?
The rumors song.
Oh, rumors. Rumors.
Can't come back to that one.
I think we're going to be waiting till the 31st deadline hour. I guess we may call it on Sky Sports. So I think we're going to have to wait for to see anybody move. But
yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
But like I said, I think most teams spend all their money for the year already.
In the summer.
Yeah, because like they broke the record again this summer in England alone, just signing players like crazy, right? So
listen, he's probably the most mentioned player on our podcast this year. Probably because of Logan too, but it's true.
Ooh.
You're not. I don't think you're going to see a January signing like Van Dijk.
No,
you know that was that's one of the best January signings.
Is that going to ever happen? Like Aubameyang's ever again?
Aubameyang's up
that's
there.
A good one too. But yeah, you know, but that's a good one too, like, Reg. But
last January, and
comparison.
I think that's the biggest general transfer ever we're going to see.
Reg is on to something though. Maybe Fred Logan, that it is going to be something kind of last minute. And teams are feeling things out, right?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, AC Milan's going to be playing Juventus tomorrow in the Italian Super Cup. They're playing it in Saudi Arabia. Higuain, they're actually trying to discussing if he's going to be moving to Chelsea again. It's a weird situation because he's owned by Juventus. It's on a loan deal with
Milan. So he can't play anyway.
Yep.
No, he's playing.
He's playing.
So if you loan a player, you can play against the parent club.
It's all on the agreement, right?
Oh. Wow.
So it depends on the deals of the agreement.
Pretty cocky.
Sorry, what is it? The details of the agreement.
Okay.
I mean, if you're Juventus right now, the way Higuain's played, and especially toward against but Juventus, you'd want him to play.
Yet again, I see here that Elmeny might be going to Roma because they have a couple of players down.
Oh, they are. Right? They're dropping. So.
So who knows?
Any player that you're giving up from Arsenal, it has to be a swap deal. I have to get a player back.
No, I don't think so. It's a swap.
It's got to be. It has to be.
Well, Roma is short players, so they're looking to sign him on a loan or whatever it is. But
it's got
to
be a swap. I need a player back if you're taking a player.
But they don't have players to give up.
We don't have players to give up either.
Well, it looks like we do.
Okay.
Yeah. Reggie rules.
But what about the deal today Fulham made? I couldn't believe it.
Babu
came into Fulham from, I think, Besiktas.
Oh, Ryan Babu?
Yep.
Yeah, Ryan
Babu.
Wow,
the former Liverpool player.
Is that a loan or they bought him?
I don't know. I think it was.
I think it's Besiktas. A sign.
Is he's it? Still around. Wow.
Besiktas. How he's playing
well. I couldn't believe it. Ryan Babu.
That's incredible.
Still playing?
With the red hair dye.
Still playing. Yeah,
Babel is signed to the end of the season.
I like that too,
Logan. It's a short term.
Hold a tune it's like Birdie.
It's a short term deal. It's a short term deal to the end of the season.
Fulham spent a lot of dough too. Eh?
They're trying to stay alive, right?
I guess Logan's right. We got all these rumors.
Rumors going nowhere. So you mentioned, Joe, Juventus playing Milan in the Super Cup.
It's so weird. They play the Super Cup in the middle of the year.
Why is it in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. There's been a lot of backlash about this, and here's where Serie A sometimes just... I mean, I know they get money for playing it in this part of the world and so on. I think AC Milan, who can use more money than anybody, they get $3.5 million. And so, anyway, but the point is there was parts of the stadium. It's somewhere along these lines where... You know, in some areas, like, they weren't allowing women in and so on. It was they were getting some backlash about it. And again, rightfully so. I'm not sure what the deal and how they've...
So how can you play a game there?
...solved it. And I don't know if now they've decided that they are letting them in. I'm probably getting it wrong. But the point is, there's been a lot of talk about that. I just think it's weird to play a Super Cup game like in the middle of the year, but
outside,
you know, outside the country. So I mean, they've played it in China in years past and so on. So
Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, but not like I didn't travel down with you, but Super Cup took place in Giant Stadium.
That's right, Logan. That's right, in August. Yep. That's right, in 2003.
Did you go?
I did. I went with Paulo and Mario Di Nicola. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a game.
I went to Anthony Capitosta, the director of TFC Academy. I remember seeing Paul Curcio there.
Man, what a game.
Well, it was a great game. I remember, I think Milan scored.
Yeah.
And then Juventus came right down the field in extra time and tied it.
That's right. It was incredible.
I remember seeing Galliano there from AC Milan. Milan ended up winning, I believe, right?
No, it was actually Juventus won it in penalties.
Juventus won it.
Yeah.
After the game, I tried to get Shevchenko's autograph. He schooled me. Didn't want anything to do with me, but I did manage to shake Pierluigi Colina's hand.
That's pretty amazing. See, I have a Colina story, and he trumps it.
On Friday nights in Aurora.
So Logan gets to shake his hand. My story with Colina, I remember zeroing in on just before. So Lippi, Marcello Lippi, was going to make a change, and Colina signals to him, and I can read his lips going, it's over, è finita, it's done. He goes, you have no chance. Like, sorry, you have no more time. And he like kind of does his hands out like that. And then, of course, Juventus tie it up.
Oh, yeah.
And in my end, it was Buffon celebrating. So, point being, that was played in August, right? That's when they should be, like, just like the Shield and whatever, right?
The first
like,
game
not in the middle of, so, anyway. I mean, 2 years ago, this...
Yep. Were you all sitting in the end zone?
Yeah, we were, yes. Yes, we were, yeah. Yeah, I mean, actually... When this was played, and that was a really hot day, but I remember. But this was played 2 years ago again, AC Milan.
Boy, and, sun bad, Joe.
Yeah, a lot. Listen, if you were a little bit fair in that day and the way it was, I'm sure you had a couple of wobbly drinks too, Logan. One or two, maybe.
I had a couple of barley sandwiches. But I'll tell you this: I was a little bit fitter then. I think I could have done the same thing Delivio did that day, which was just run up and down the winning for 120.
You're gonna cut on Delivio.
Oh, those were the days. I mean, the names in that game, though, right? Pirlo, Cafu, Trezeguet, Nedved, Del Piero.
That's not bad.
Okay, and Buffon, Dida.
Until the last 2 minutes of extra time, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's tomorrow. Obviously, I'm not very. We talked about the fans being so low, and you know, when you're a fan of a team, you're not expecting much. But 2 years ago, I didn't expect much. Sorry, and AC Milan won the Super Cup against Juventus, so I don't know. We'll see.
Will you be watching?
I'm gonna try. It's at 3 o'clock. I think I'm gonna be.
You got the zone on your phone.
I don't think that game is on, so we'll see. Yeah, it's the zone. I don't know. We'll see, but.
Joe has too much respect for taxpayers.
Thanks, see Logan. Gotcha. Good man.
Good stuff. Anything else in Serie A, Joe?
That I want to talk about? you know what? No, I think that's...
You want to come across to North America?
Yeah, I want to get to our MLS stuff.
There's a lot of stuff that's going on in MLS. Seattle lost their captain, I believe, to Minnesota.
Minnesota United, yeah. Alonso would have looked good in TFC colors based on what we heard today.
If I had known what I knew today, last week, or when I heard about this, I would be furious. Well, let's just talk about what happened today. One of the stalwarts of our offense, and when I say our, I mean TFC, Victor Vasquez.
Wow.
Sold to a team in Qatar?
Right.
Now, what is going on? And we just got our new, GM? New what? President?
Yep. GM.
GM. So is it him trying to stamp his authority on the team? Or is it really that Victor Vasquez wasn't necessary for our success? Which I can't believe. But
that kind of tipped TFC over the hump.
Oh, I think so. Sure. I think 100%. Yeah, for sure. His quality, his goals, his passing. I mean, his class, all that stuff. Apparently, though, guys...
He did have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, for sure. I think Logan hits it. The injuries, you know, the uncertainty. Again, he came into camp or was going to come into camp not, you know, at 100%. I think, again, don't quote me, but from what the deal was, TFC financially, this worked out really well for them. They got some money that's going to help them. And it's not going to count against, you know, the MLS is so, it's like a spider web of like, you know, how the ins and outs of it. But they're going to get money that they are going to try to reinvest into another midfielder. They're trying to get the Argentine Jansen. Was it Jansen? Was that his name? I'm messing it up now.
Oh, he played for us last year.
Yes, yeah, right. They're trying to see if they're going to secure him for next year. Yeah, I know. Red's just telling you what they're saying, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy with that. But apparently they're looking to bring in someone else, like a big name, apparently. And today, not the biggest name, but you'll see. Maybe they'll mention it tomorrow. I was hearing some rumors again, that maybe a young Canadian, maybe a former Orlando City player, Richie Larea, maybe was training with him. I know it's not to the level of, you know, we're looking at Victor Vasquez, but, you know, they are trying to bring in some guys, and we'll see. But
Our young Canadians need playing time because we're looking beyond our CPL league, beyond our MLS league.
Yeah.
We're looking at our national team. So in order to get guys that are guys better on the national team, they have to be playing. So
Got to play.
So they have to be in a situation that they can play too, so... I think he'll play for nostalgic reasons in like the Canada Cup, or not Canada Cup, the Canadian Championship, and all that stuff. So he'll probably get game time there. But that name that replaces Vasquez, it has to be
pretty big name.
It has to be a big name with quality.
Quality.
I don't just need a big name. I need a big name with quality, because there were times on the field when he was playing, it was just like, wow. Like, and he's however old he was, in his 30s or whatever, and he was still the best player on the field. So
31.
And TFC's putting their eggs in this basket of this year coming up. Like, you know, they're looking to go for things, because we know that next year is going to be, it could look differently, right?
Yeah,
with contract stuff.
Yeah. Well, there was I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was an interesting clip in an interview between Jose Altidore and Jovinko. And Jovinko, I mean, he was diplomatic enough, but I guess Christian Jack asked him, you know, do you want to finish your career here? And then Jovinko said, well, you know, I don't know how many times you guys have to ask me this question, basically. I said I want to stay here. Why don't you go up to management and kind of ask them?
Yeah.
He said it in kind of a jovial Jovinko type way, but I mean, sending the message that's clear is that, you know, he wants to stay. It sounds like Altidore wants to stay. But, you know, Vasquez had a lot to do with the supply line.
Yeah.
He took really good corners. He played fantastic, you know, football. That's almost like a big, outside of Michael Bradley, he was a key piece to their success. And then you gotta be able to find a replacement for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's gonna come from, but we have an Ali Curtis we trust, I guess.
I think we got him now.
I guess we have.
We have no choice, do we?
So Joe, last.
Yeah. So some
Thursday,
Friday, last Friday. In Chicago, in the Windy City.
Mm-hmm. Joe was desperately, frantically trying to find
a
flight out to Chicago for the MLS draft, and couldn't do it.
Didn't happen. No,
we needed him at our game anyway. So
it didn't help too much. But yeah, so
but what happened there, Joe?
Well, the MLS draft happened this past week. There was a couple of good Canadian stories out of it. The two guys we focused in on were Dane Sinclair from the University of Maryland, won the College Cup, keeper, fantastic kid, and great keeper, bright future, we hope, and we know he'll do okay, as well as bright future for Kamal Miller out of Syracuse, also got drafted. Both these guys were drafted. Dane got drafted by Minnesota, I believe 7th overall, and Kamal very early in the second round to Orlando City. Congratulations to both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about these guys on the pod for a while. I think for a couple of years. I remember
long time.
3 years ago we were saying, hey, watch out for these two guys and so on. Very proud of these young men. I was very fortunate to be involved with them for a little bit at Vaughn. And couldn't happen to better guys. I know we say that all the time, but these guys truly are hardworking kids. Very happy for them. Hopefully they get a chance. All words, you know, all the reports are saying that they are going to get a legitimate chance and so on. So they're off too. I think they're at the rookie symposium, actually. Dane obviously was a generation Adidas player too with MLS, so he had a little bit more certainty going in, but they're both in good spots. We want to, as you know, we've pumped them on the pod for a while. Congratulations to both those guys, and we will be following you guys, and hopefully we can maybe have them on soon on the pod. That'd be great. So congrats, Dane Sinclair and Kamal Miller.
And if you don't believe us, go back and check the tape.
Check the tape.
Please.
We called it.
Previous podcast.
We did.
So, yeah.
Because I know there's going to be some people out there that are going to claim this, but we were the first.
We said it. We said, look out for these guys, and you know, and big personalities that can back it up. And like I said, those... the players, their families, and their coaches and stuff, coaches that we've had, you know, on our show and stuff, both Carmen Asako, Patrice Geiser, and so on, guys like that. We've worked with them, and, you know, obviously their college coaches, you know, Ian McIntyre at Syracuse and Sasha Osorovsky, you know, at Maryland. So we're happy for them as well.
Yeah, for sure. And don't forget CPL starts in March.
In April, yeah. In April? It'll be there with our you know, a lot of guys that, you know, again, guys that we've talked about on the show, like Austin Ricci, you know, who was on our show a while back, you know, was one of York Nine's signings out of Oakland University. So there's other guys that, you know, we'll be telling you about. And again, check the tape. We talked to him and so on. So hopefully these guys get an opportunity. Along with the grassroots thing, Reg, two good followers we've had the last week. First Touch Football, FTF, they're doing a great job. You guys check them out for sure on Instagram and on Twitter. FTF, First Touch Football, they're doing an amazing job of promoting grassroots young players getting the chance. They're doing a lot of digital promotion of these players. They're involved with CPL, so they're doing a fantastic job. We want to thank them. Shout out to them. We'll be talking more about them in the future, as well as we want to thank 24th Minute, Dwayne Rollins, for following us. You guys should check him out at 24th Minute, I think it is. And does a great job, TFC, anything TFC, MLS, soccer, and we thank him for the follow, and you guys should check him out as well.
Most definitely, most definitely. We always like to plug some of the guys that are doing positive things in the grassroots area of soccer in Canada, so kudos to them. Thanks for the follow. I'm sure we'll be followed back, but hopefully we can have them on the show as well, and they can explain exactly what they do. But for now, thank you for that. So, Fred.
Yeah.
What do you got for me? Anything else?
Thinking about this game coming up.
Yeah.
Fred shaking his head, guys.
It's
Fred,
it's Wednesday and it's tough head. Already.
I'm hoping we'll have a revenge on them, but with not having healthy defenders, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But you know, like
hey Logan, like, are you gonna be sitting back with that one, Logan?
I know, right? Like I always say to like I always say to people, you know, like, if you don't have a strong heart, you can't support our team. So, you know, only the strongest support us. You know, that's all I can say.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm with you, boys.
Joseph?
Listen, I just...
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say. Your team's... What
that's,
are they,
why, wait, that's why you're a Liverpool fan.
What are they, Logan? What's your team? They are what? They're top of the...
They're top of the league. But I'm not going to sing it.
Yeah, oh, man. I want the song.
The singing is the... Top of the league. The singing is the jinx.
I
might as
well say it while it's still occurring. But
hey, listen. No kidding. Even if you lose this week and City win, you're still top of the league. So, right?
Right point. Don't worry.
Yeah, but that's sweaty bum time, right? So. Joe, do you have anything else?
I just don't want AC Milan to take a drubbing in the cup, in the Super Cup.
They'll be fine, Joe. They'll be fine. They're going
Juventus
to the,
is on vacation too. Don't worry about it.
They're going to the desert. It'll be all right, man.
Logan, you have anything else?
Just the fantastic support from this podcast to some of the youth soccer. It was a great interview last week with Anthony Vidori.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's true. You guys could go back to the tape and you promoted some of these young players. One of the reasons you guys got into this podcast was support grassroots soccer. And look at what some of our youth players are doing. So it's a credit to you and Joe. I'm proud to be a part of this podcast. I think we have a bit of fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. I do have to give you guys a little bit of a reprimand. I can't believe that.
You know, it's like
it goes without saying. You know what I mean?
It's like my wife. You know, this was a great day, but
you know, it goes without saying, right, Logan?
Okay, what did we do, Logan?
What did we do? What
you guys got me to go on Twitter. Twitter is full of poisonous people.
Come on, man.
You could write down some of these fans' knowledge of football on a postage stamp. I just cannot believe some of the negativity.
Welcome to social media,
bro. That's what Twitter is.
You have to be able to filter it out, Logan.
Banter media.
To be able to put the filters on.
You're right, Fred. You got to show me. I don't know.
You can block people, eh? You can block people, so if you...
I like when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, we'll have a Twitter, what do we call it? A Twitter tutorial.
Yeah, 101.
A Twitter referendum.
Yeah. When I turn this thing off. But again, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Hopefully there'll be more transfers.
All right, top of the league.